Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this lesson with our other discipleship group, which is PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Thursday morning edition as we continue our lesson along the line of dealing with the subject about application of the kingdom of God. And so when we talk about applications of the kingdom of God, in other words, we're sharing with you, giving you a different outlook of how the laws of the kingdom work. In other words, you should never be in a place where you say, we fail, we lose, because it's the purpose that Jesus went to the cross is so that we would not have to deal with any crisis on our own, because we were not created to be, you know, to live in a crisis mode or to handle things on our own. We were created to worship our God, and our God was responsible of creating everything that we had need of, so that we wouldn't have to come to him about need. We could just enjoy him, fellowshipping with him throughout the day or throughout the evening and et cetera. But we know what took place. But now that we are back in that place because of the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus, well, we no longer have to look at the crisis or the struggles or the challenges and say, well, I'm only just a man. What can I do? Or these things never work out for me. You got to change your vocabulary, saying. So all this week we've been dealing with on the subject of renewing the mind. So application of renewing your mind. So if you're going to walk in the promise of God, you're going to walk and live as the righteousness of God that we are by faith through Christ Jesus, then it's going to require major demolition, and if you wanted to add on to your house or you wanted to expand your kitchen, sometime you have to tear down a wall. Well, we call that, demolishing a wall, demolishing something in there. Why? Because it doesn't fit the new idea that you have. Well, the things that you're going to have to tear down in your mind is tradition. It will be religion. And it will be unbelief. And so as Jesus said in Mark 7:13 and also in Matthew 15, that the only thing that makes the word of God of no effect, it will be your tradition. And so, so we've been using our foundation scripture, which is in Matthew chapter 11. And verse 12, it talks about the kingdom of God. It says, in the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And the reason for that was because up to John the Baptist, everything was under the old covenant, including John himself. But you and I that's been born of God. And that's why I say he that is least of the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. But the reason that Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God suffered violence was because why? Men, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and et cetera, religious leaders, they looked at their tradition greater than the washing of hands, so to say. Because they asked a question in Matthew 15 and said, why do your disciples don't wash their hand before eating? And Jesus came out and said, well, why do you transgress the commandments of God with your tradition? And so, and as that went on, Jesus was revealing to them the subject of the matter was, it's not what goes into the heart that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. And he's just simply putting it, every tree that my Father, Heavenly Father, has not planted, it would be plucked up. Well, what was he say? Until you understand of keeping the word of God, for you and I as the believer, until you understand that, hey, It is possible. It is a reality that every sickness, every disease that tried to attack my body, I can curse it and cause it to die on arrival before it penetrates. Now you see that. See, that's gonna take a mind renewal. Why? Because most people look at that and say, "Wait a minute." No. It's not. I'm not speaking this in myself. I'm speaking of this because I have a right, because Jesus gave us that right as the righteousness of God. So it wasn't my death on the cross that made me perfect. I got credit for it. You did too if you are born again, but it was Jesus' death at the cross. It was Jesus who suffered the penalty of what sin did on the cross, so that you and I can have this liberty, so I could speak with this type of confidence and this assurance. So it's my confession of faith. You know, the reality of 1 Peter 2:24 said himself bore my sin on the tree that we might be dead to sin. That means what sin did he bore? He bore the sin nature. He bore all sin, but it was the nature that you and I was conceived in through the natural birth of our parent that caused us to be sinners. And that's why we live out living in sin. And I understand that we have now been born again, filled with the Spirit of God, most of us. I think every believer. Next month coming up, we're going to be talking about the baptism, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I think all of us should be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because as long as you live on the earth, this is your mind is the ground that Satan uses as a battlefield. So your thoughts, you're going to have to, you know, a great part of spiritual warfare. And I'll be sharing with that sometime, maybe in the Grace Conference or later on during the year. But a greater part of this spiritual warfare is having to do with you crucifying your flesh, mortifying the deeds of your body, taking girding up the lawn of your mindset. That is the greater part of spiritual warfare, because Jesus already, according to Colossians 2:15, he's already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. He made a mark of them. He brought them to naught on their own territory. So you and I wouldn't have to. So if I suffer any challenges in my body or in my mindset, you know, it is only because of my tradition, maybe my religious background, maybe being legalistical, or just being plain old ignorant. You know what I mean by that? Just spiritually ignorant to the truth of God's word. And all of those can be, all of those are changeable. So I don't have to remain ignorant. I don't have to remain in my tradition. You know, when I say your tradition, I'm talking about, you may have never believed that you could walk in divine health because of a tradition in your family. Some men in your family may have been to the place where they say, well, at the age of 50, we have heart issues. So all men in our family on my father's side have heart issues. So I'm expecting to have heart issues too at that, you know, and we don't live very long after that. Well, you see, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That may be a fact that that was so. But that doesn't have to be you. The moment you got born again, the moment you understood, should I say, the laws that govern the kingdom of God through the new birth, you broke the power of that death that took place on your father's side of all the males in your family. You broke the power of it, and notice it, but because you are born again does not automatically mean that you're going to walk in this liberty. No. So when we say the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force, again, man's tradition will keep him from walking in this authority. So if you're going to overpower, and that's what the word suffered means here, it means suffered violence, it means it's an overpowering force. So what you're doing, you're using an overpowering force that wants to keep you in your traditional way of thinking and wants to keep you in a religious mindset, want to keep you in what you call a self-righteous mindset. And these things will keep you from walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Because you see, James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, a religious mindset will not be able to do that because, first of all, what's the first thing you have to do in that verse of scripture? The first thing that has to take place in James 4:7, he says, submit yourself to God. So to submit myself to God means I need to come up under the authority of the word that God has spoken so that I can resist the devil. So what does that look like? Let's put that, give you an example of that, application of that. So if the scripture said, Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Then guess what? It's not that God is gonna send his word. It's that he's already sent it. So if he sent his word, then notice this. The Bible says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if he sent his word, then guess what? I have to be what? Expecting. If someone said, well, I sent you an offering, or I sent you, I sent you an offering in the mail. So what am I doing? I'm expecting. I'm looking for it every day, you know, since he said, someone said, I sent you, an offering. What are you expecting? Well, it's the same thing here in the word. When you hear, if he sent his word and healed me, then guess what? Hope gives me a blueprint, an image on the inside. A blueprint is made to be what? To be where you can see what it's going to look like, what the structure of a building is going to look like. Well, God has given you the word hope, and one of the words for hope is a blueprint. So that means God has given you a blueprint, an image through your imagination that you are able to see yourself healed, see yourself that God sent his word and healed. So that means I am expecting that healing to show up in my body. I am expecting that cancer cell to die in my body. I am expecting my sinuses to clear up and never be congested again. I am expecting my eyes to have 20/20 vision in both eyes. I'm expecting my hearing, my ears, I can hear, I can comprehend, I can understand all the days of my life. I am expecting that my mind will not be filled with toxicity of dementia or Alzheimer's. The Bible said the memory of the righteous are blessed. Life and death is in the power of my tongue. He said, therefore, I record this day before you. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. And if you choose, he said, choose life that you and your seed may live. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, then God will do it. Numbers 23:19. What do we say? I'm saying this to you. If he sent his word, then guess what? I am the one that's expecting. That's what hope is. Now, hope is not going to get the need met. Hope is not going to bring it to you, but hope is a goal setter. Hope is an expected, is an expector. It gives me a confidence that, hey, I got it. On the other hand, I'm receiving it by the only currency whereby God releases healing, he releases prosperity, he releases a healthy marriage, he releases strong relationship. It's called faith. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because he what? Loves me. So you got to put all, you intertwine all of that together. You entwine God's love, you entwine the word of God, you entwine hope, you entwine faith. when you entwine, patience, all of these things, these components, they work together. They don't work inseparable. They work together. But when you understand how to put them in their correct manner so that you can understand and have an assurance in your heart that, hey, I'm already healed of this. So it doesn't make a difference what the report are that you may be receiving. You can come out and say in the finality of it all, Jesus sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destruction. That means he delivered me from an early grave. So therefore, I will live and not die and declare the works of God. What are you saying? You're saying that, hey, I cannot die with purpose in my heart. I cannot die because I have an understanding of what the cross represents for me. Now, I'm going to crucify my flesh. Gird up the loins of my mind and keep out all doubt, keep out all fear, keep out all unbelief. The opposite of fear is love. The reason why I'm afraid is because I haven't received the love that God has towards me. See, when you start thinking on that love that God has for you, how can you die? How can you stay broke? How can you stay confused? How can you stay addicted? How can you stay connected to your tradition? When you understand that God so loved the world, or make it personal, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son up for me so that I can believe and have everlasting life. Wow, man, that does something to me to say, God loves me. And because he loves me, I have no fear of death. I can go on and be a blessing in life. Why? Because God loved, his love got me. Why would he put himself on the cross? Why would he become my substitute for sin? What sin did? Sin is the reason for all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, oppression, depression, confusion, and everything else upon the earth, homosexuality and all these crazy things that's on the earth. Sin is the reason. If God put himself on the cross so that I myself can understand that he was my substitute, it was like I myself was on that, but he took my place, he took your place, so that, why? You would not be burdensome or cumbersome in your mindset of thinking that, well, I got this negative report from my banker. I got this negative report from my doctor. I got this negative report from my job. They're going to lay us off or we're not getting any pay raise or whatnot. I understand all that, but I'm telling you, because you and I are born again. And just being born again give us a new way of living, a new system that we think out of, that we live out of, that we feed out of. And it's called the kingdom of God. And therefore, you make your way prosper. You don't have to look to the job. You don't have to look to this society. You make your way prosper through the process, through the means that God put in place. And what does that mean? Just like we talked about healing, well, let's put an application for giving. Well, when you put an application in there for giving, notice what it said. One of the first things it said that, and I'm going to use this verse of scripture. I know many people don't like it, but the word tithe. And when you think about the word tithe, the tithe was not under the law first. The tithe was part of the covenant of grace, the covenant of God's love. Abraham gave a tithe because of God's love towards him, meaning there was no way he was able to conquer the armies that he went up against with his 318 trained servants of his own household. He knew it was the hand of God. He knew that it was God who set him up. So what did he say? Let's look at that just for a moment. In Genesis chapter 14. This is, you know, I'm talking about giving now. You know, I gave you the application about healing. You're going to have to receive the word. You have to know what the word of God said. Well, the same thing on, excuse me, the same thing about finances. You know, God has a way of prospering you and I. And it's not just the church. It's not just, you know, when I say the church, the building, or it's not just a pastor or someone that's called into the ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, No. Every believer, God has destined for you to prosper. Now, your prosperity, excuse me, your prosperity, we make the problem, we make the, we put ourselves in trouble by trying to compare and compete. See, when we talk about prosperity, we're talking about having what? Having a sufficiency that will take care of you and that you'll be able to give into God's kingdom. You don't do that. That's God himself that does that through you. Because he what? He loves you. But notice this in Genesis 14. I want you to see this first for a moment. And look at verse 18. Genesis 14. Here we go. Genesis 14. And now notice this. In verse 18 or verse 17, it says, well, let's look at verse 18. It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, knows what he did. After he come back with, you know, with his nephew and his family, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, watch this, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now notice it, the first thing about this Melchizedek, we believe that it's the incarnation of Jesus Christ himself, because first of all, he said, king of Salem. Well, king of Salem simply means peace. You know, and it noticed this. It said, who brought forth bread and wine? Well, I believe this is a replica of himself. The type of death, what the covenant that we will have when you understand the types and the shadows of God. Notice this. And then he said, he is the priest of the Most High God. Well, we know that Jesus is our priest who lived forever, because they had all other priests was what? They come and gone. But Jesus himself is our priest forever. Okay, Melchizedek, and when you look at Hebrews 7. So notice this. So notice the first thing he did. It says here that he brought the bread and the wine, and he was the Most High God. And notice this. And he blessed him and said, or empowered him and said, blessed or be empowered, Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, this is what Abram did himself. And he said, blessed or empowered the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. What did Abraham do for God to deliver his enemies in his hand? Remember, Abraham didn't come to God. God came to Abraham. And the purpose that God came to Abraham, it was so that he could do what? Could reinstate the authority, the power of the kingdom of heaven in the earth as it is today. God had to come through a man, because God's first original intent, he covenanted with man. He covenanted with the first Adam. Throughout history, God covenanted with man. That was his original setting. And you say, well, why would God do that, knowing that man can mess up? Because why? God wanted mankind to do what? To choose him rather than he making you and I choose him. He wanted to give us the will to choose. That's why we're different from animals and everything else. We have the ability to choose whether or not I'm going to love God, I'm going to give to God. And notice this, whether you give to God your tithes or not, it's not going to bother God, and you're not under a curse. Now, I know that may be a new wrinkle to some people's brain, but you're not under curse because you don't give the tithe. Why? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of the curse. Now, by you not giving tithe, well, guess what? It's like saying, you know, when it's time for you to pay your mortgage or pay your car note or whatever that is, your water bill or your utility bill, well, guess what? If you don't put some money on the side for your utility bill or water bill that's coming up, you know, LUS, you know, is who we have right here. But, you know, they may let you go by for a month or so. But sooner or later, what's going to happen? They're going to come and cut your water off, your lights off. They're not cutting it off because they were mean. They cut it off because you broke what? The agreement. See, you didn't put anything aside to do what? So that you could have light. You could have water. Well, it's the same thing here. The kingdom of God is based on seed, time, and harvest. So it's based on you sowing the seed and reaping the harvest from it. That's the method of the kingdom of God. It's to sow a seed, whether it be for healing. If I need healing, how do I sow the seed? The word of God. If I need deliverance, what do? I find out what the word of God says. I sow the seed of God's word into my heart. So what? I can do what? Walk in that deliverance. Well, if I sow the seed financially, well, guess what? It's the word. And plus, it's something that's coming from me physically. Okay, now I'm not talking about on giving, but I'm using it as an application. And sometimes we really say, well, why am I not prospering financially? It's like I'm just barely getting by, you know, with my job and et cetera. Well, God used your job to help you, but your job was given unto you so that you would be able to take a portion and sow it under God willingly of your own so that he will cause the windows of heaven to open. That means doors, favor, opportunity will come to you without you going looking for it. Why? Because there's a gift that God put in your life. There's a talent that God has put upon you. And that gift, that talent, that gift that God has given to you, that gift has make room for you. That gift demands attention. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of the Lord, it make rich. It didn't say you, it made you. No, the blessing. That means the thing that God put in your life, the thing that God put on your life to do what that caused you to prosper. Deuteronomy 8:18 said, it is God who give you what? Power to get wealth. And meaning God not going to rain money out of heaven, but God is giving you power. In other words, whatever you can find your hand to do, God will bless it. You know, I'm talking about being, if it's legal, if it's right, he will bless it. But if you sit by and do nothing and you're expecting God to, you know, say, Lord, I'm trusting you to bless me. Okay, what has he put in your hand? What has he given you that you could do? Because when you discover what God put in your hand, something that you could do, he's showing you that, hey, this is a means of bringing forth increase into your life. I think one of the first thing that, you know, especially when it comes to this, you know, if you really want to prosper financially, if you really want to have true success, I think the first thing you need to do is, Lord, what is your purpose for my life? And I know that's an age old generations statement or question. Lord, what is your will for my life? Well, most of the time, we are actually walking in it, but because we don't see it as a blessing, we see it more of a tyrant. We see more of it as a weight. We see more of it as a weight in our life. We forget that it's God that wakes you up, that gives you the ability, that puts you in your right mind. You're able to go to work. You don't know who you're going to run across in that day. If you don't have any expectancy of God favoring you, God increasing you, then guess what? The thing, the dream, the vision that God put inside of you, it could just die, stillborn, because you're not feeding it. You're not giving it no life. You're looking at your current situation in a manner that whereas, you know, prices are going up, and it is, you know, I don't know how we're going to make it. It just don't seem like, you know, things are not going to get better. Well, I can stay in the natural, and all of those things may be so, but you are not just human. You are spirit, soul, and body. Until you renew your mind in the area of prosperity, you're going to always live mediocrity, below you, the privilege that of the kingdom of God that's in you, and etc. Because you don't see yourself in a way that God sees you. You see yourself through the reflection of that natural mirror. I'm getting old. I don't have this much strength. I don't have. So you're judging yourself by your tradition. You're judging yourself by what our ancestors made, how they looked at themselves, how they did this and that. No, I'm asking you to look at yourself through the lenses of the Word of God. Not through the lenses of the flesh, but through the lenses of the finished work of Christ. Now, I quoted you those scriptures and I showed you that, you know, how Abram, he verse 19 of Genesis 14, it said, he blessed him and said, bless Abram, be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And then he said, bless be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave a tithe of all. God didn't ask him to do that. Abram just knew in himself just to get, why? Because of the love. He knew there was no way to come, there was no way to come out of that on his own. And until you understand the love that God has for you, and recognize that there's no way I was able to overcome that. There's no way I was able, you know, this debt to be forgiven, or me to walk in this, you know, my life is spared like this. So what are you doing? God is not asking you to give anything. You are giving out of a nature of love, because when God breathed into man in Genesis 2, he breathed into him the breath of life. Now, God already spoke, let us make man in our image. Well, when man was made, but man did not become like God until God put in him, breathed into him. What he spoke, God breathed the substance of creation into man. That's how man knew Abram knew to bring forth the tithe. He had the life of God. He had the mindset of God. God, Abraham, just knew to do that. And that's just something like you and I, by revelation knowledge, by fellowshipping with God, by looking at the Word. That's just, you just know what to do, how to stand. You just know that when a principality of power, a rule of darkness has tried to come from your past to torment you and put you back in a place of being fearful, put you back in a place of your tradition, you know, of how your forefathers lived and etc., you'll be able to recognize that and say, no, I refuse. I'll cast this imagination down. I bring every thought, every high thought that's trying to exalt, that's 2 Corinthians 10:5, that's trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, I bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why? What do you say? Jesus paid the price for it. Jesus paid the price for my redemption. That means I've been redeemed from the slave market of sin. Sin no longer can hold me hostage over my head and cause me to live sickly, cause me to live weak, cause me to feel sorry for myself, cause me to all these different. No, I won't have to accept that. Why? Because I'm a new creature that is in Christ Jesus. When you understand what I did, I took 34 minutes here of just giving you various applications of how to stand financially. So you see what Abram did. Abram didn't bring the tithe trying to get something. Abram brought the tithe thanking God for something that he did for him. And that's what you and I get the opportunity to do. But to say that, well, if you don't bring the tithe in, well, you're cursed with a curse. No, that was under the law of the commandments for those under the law. But remember, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. You get to bring the tithe out of love. You get to give to God because you know you shouldn't even be alive. When you look back at your own life, when you look at everything that's gone, you shouldn't even made it through. But you did. And so it's an act of your own will. And so when you are really not prospering financially, it is because, you know, I hate to say that, but it's because you're not a sower. You don't give into other people's lives. You don't give into other ministry. You don't give into something bigger than yourself. You have to sow the seed, because one thing the enemy will do, remember, I'm using, talking about renewing your mind, the assault can come through your tradition. And traditionally speaking, you know, you may not, you only just give to your own ministry, you only give to yourself. Well, that's not good enough. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to nobody, but I'm just saying that, hey, I had to break this. You have to sow in other people's lives as the Spirit of God leads you. And when you do that, God will see to it that, as the scripture says, give and it shall be given. But the first thing it says, give. And there's a comma behind. And then it said, it shall be given. And then it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. See, God is the one that causes the increase. But you and I are the one that have to put the seed, sow the seed. I'm not sowing it to get. I'm sowing it out of God's love. I'm sowing it in a manner to where, as why? Because I understand purpose. I understand that if I'm to do what he called me to do, I have to have sufficiency in itself to do what God called me to do. God is responsible for putting us in a place where we have shelter. God is responsible that he keep food on our table, good food on our table. God is responsible that he keep us in a goodly vehicle to go from place to place. God is responsible he keep gas in our vehicles and everything else. What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm submitting myself totally to living under the kingdom of God when he said, hey, take no thought for yourself saying what you should eat, what you should put on, how you should be clothed, or where you should live. And he gives the illustration in Matthew 6. He said, look at the birds. They don't either sow, they don't gather in the barn, but yet your heavenly Father feeded them. Are you not much more than they? And you know you are. But see, our tradition, this is why the kingdom of God suffered violence, because our tradition of how we were raised, the philosophy of view of life, how we have lived out our lives up to where we are now, some good, some bad, and the thing about it, it will bring confusion. It will stop you in your track from doing what? From walking out or living, making a stance on the word of God that you know concerning finances. And when you prompting in your heart, God is, it's bigger than the tithe. God is it's getting you, I want you to sow $5,000 into this ministry. Or I want you to sow, go do this and do that. And so what is he doing? He's setting you up to do what? So that he can bring increase to you, not give it back to you in the same light. But that he can know what? He know that he has your heart. He know that he has your finances. He know that you love him. And therefore, what is he doing? He's causing the windows of heaven to not even be able to, or you not have room enough to contain all of his goodness towards you. You'll be so prosperous in everything that you do that you have to give it away. You have to be looking for others to be able, and that's actually what the means of prosperity is that I can be a blessing to mankind regardless of what it is. Sometimes people may not need money. What they need healing. They may need someone to lay hands upon them and so that their condition can go. Sometimes they may need deliverance. They may need someone to speak the word of God to them and help them to renew their mind and begin to understand that, hey, you know, 90% of the battle is you dying to your flesh and taking control of, you know, girding up the lawn of your mind, what you allowing yourself to hear. You know, financially and whatnot, yeah, we'll be in a position to do what? To minister to others who have need. And the Lord will lead you. It's not like you have to just, you know, open yourself to, nope, he'll lead you. And when he does lead you, now you can expect, now you're expecting God to do what? To increase that, what he's put in your hand. Why? Because you made yourself a sower. I'm going to give you these last two verses of scripture that I'm going to stop along this line. I know sometime when we get, look at 2 Corinthians 9, and sometimes when we get to talking about these things, especially when it comes to finances, you know, it can turn people off. It can become a sore thumb in a person's life. But when you see that and think of that, ask yourself, why am I becoming sore about that? Why do I feel negative about that? It's because why? It's touching your sacred cow. It's touching the thing that you put, you know, you're not going to let anyone get a hold to. And I'm just, you know, all of us have those less sacred cows. And I deal with mine all the time when I know something come up and I try to be defensive about it or try to, you know, say, this is why I do this. Well, guess what? That is letting me know you got to deal with that. You got to deal with that. Are you following what I'm saying? So my point is, I'm not trying to get any money from you. I'm just trying to show you that the application concerning the laws of the kingdom, as far as sowing and reaping, you cannot reap financially if you're not a giver. And I'm not, you know, I'm not asking you to give to me. I'm not, you know, so I'm not asking you to, even though it's on the screen to tell you that if this ministry has been a blessing to you, whatnot, you can sow into the favor church. But if you don't believe in us, then you got to find somebody, some ministry that you believe in that God is using to speak in your life and sow it. And expect God to bring it back. Don't expect the man to give it back, but expect God. Because he's the one that's putting it on your heart. Now here's the last couple of verses of scriptures I want to read to you right here. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 says, it said, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. That means if you give little, you get little. If you give every now and then, you're going to receive every now and then. And he said, he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Well, I think that's self-explanatory. You continue to keep pouring, giving in, then guess what? God will see to it abundantly that it continue to keep coming back to you. Verse 7 said, every man according as he purposed in his heart, let him give. See, you're not giving out of compulsion. And you should never give in a manner to where somebody's begging you, please, no. You're giving because it's in your heart to do so. That's why I say, let him give according to as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity. God loves what? A cheerful giver. So if a person is going to sow, if I'm going to sow seeds in someone's life, I'm doing it out of a cheerful heart, not a grudgy heart. Okay, and notice that verse 8 said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that means whatever seed you give, and if it's healing, God is able to make grace abound towards you. That grace that he's talking about, that you see, grace is what God provides. But faith is, on the other hand, is the hand that receives it. Because God loves you. Amen. So it said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. See, you have to have a revelation of that. And this is talking about financial giving. This is not, you know, some people will make it look like, well, that's a spirit. No, this is talking about money. And notice here, here's the other verse, the last verse of scripture I want you to see, or a couple of verses said, as is written, he has, you know, dispersed, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness will remain forever. And that time we do, we sow to the poor. You know, I don't just give to the poor. Like, I give to the poor as the Lord will lead me. Because you don't really know, you know, everybody got their hand out, and you don't really know who's real or not. But you can discern by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God don't prompt you or lead you, then you just keep on moving. Okay? And the last verse of scripture here, he said, Now he that ministers seed to the soil both ministered bread for his food and multiplied the seed sown. Notice this. If I become a sower, I may not have any money right now. But if I made myself a sower, this scripture is saying, now he that ministers seed to the soil, that means God is going to see to it that you get the seed to sow. You may be in a position that you can't even tithe. But you know what? If you start taking, you know, the $2, take what you have and start sowing it, or take some time. If you especially belong to a local church, take some time and go clean up the church. Go make sure, ask the pastor, you know, is there anything that I can do? You know, the church need in the cleaning. Do the carpet need to be shampooed? Can I do that? I don't have any money at this moment, but I'm willing to give my, I'm telling you, if you start giving, give something from yourself. And God will see to it that you will have seed to sow. See, you may not have the money right now. You may not be able to do the money, but you can. You got something in your arsenal, something within you that you can do. Cut the grass at the church. Do something and do it with your heart. Do it with excellence. Why? Because you're not doing it toward man. You're doing it as unto God. Everything that we do, we are doing it as unto God. So he said, now he that ministers seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he, notice it, multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It is God that will give you the seed to sow, even if you don't have it. And I know what that's like. I'm telling you, many times that's what he did. I didn't have seed to sow. So what we do? I go cut people's grass. I go do their flower bed because I'm good at that. I would go edge their yard like they were paying me $75 to do it. I don't have any money, but I can sow something. And then what happened? As I kept doing that, my wife could testify, as I kept doing that, people started calling me, wanting me to do their yard, do their flower bed, wanting me to paint their house or whatever. And then all of a sudden, money started coming. Why? Because I took what I had, the gift, that, and I started using it to help someone else, using it to bless someone else. And this is what we're missing today. See, money not going to automatically just come to you, fall out the sky, but God has put something in your hand. God has given you something you can do. And if you use what God has given you, then God is using that to do what? Open a door, open an avenue, and make way for the gift that he has in you. But you have to first give of yourself. He's giving you something that you can release. He gave me the ability that I can cut grass. I can use a weed eater. I can use a weed eater like nobody's business. And I can make something look very beautiful. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you, I didn't use it so much, I know what I can do with it. I know what I can do with a flower bed, you know, whether it's an existing one or one that's not there. God has given me the ability. I can see in my imagination how the flower bed will bring out this house, or how it will bring out that yard. Or you understand what I'm talking about? Or painting. I can paint interior or exterior. All this I was doing for nothing. And why? Because I didn't have any money. So what did I sold my time. I sold myself. And then God causes money to come because I gave up myself. And I'm just saying, this is how it works. So don't sit at home or say, I'm waiting on a job, I'm waiting on, hey, go to somebody. Again, especially I'm talking to you as a believer, go to your local church. Don't ask the pastor for no money. Just say, can I, what we need to do around here? Do the carpet need to be shampooed? Do the seats need to be cleaned? Do we need to dust off everything or whatnot? Or, pastor, do your car need to be washed? I mean, you may not care nothing about doing, but what do you, I'm putting a seed, I'm putting seed using what God, he ministers seed to the sower. The seed might be you. And then once you do that, and you show forth that you're doing it as unto the Lord, then now all of a sudden, doors of opportunity are going to start opening up for you. Because you know it was nobody but God that put that in your way. I'm just trying to show you just different ways or things that you could do. And that doesn't mean that what I'm saying is, you know, that's the way you have to do it. But these methods work. It worked for me. And I'm just saying, you know, God is no respecter person. Well, I see my time has come and gone. I've gone 50 minutes. I've gone way over my time. But I hope that this lesson has blessed you. It's increasing your understanding, your awareness of understanding the various application about the kingdom of God. And I ask you, all I should share this lesson with others who may be struggling in some area of their walk and not understanding why they're not, whether it's prospering, whether or not they're not walking in their healing, or they're not walking in their deliverance, or whatever it is. I hope that something is said in this online Bible school that will help you to whet your appetite, that the Holy Spirit will get you said, now go back to that verse of scripture, go look at this. So when you hear that, that's God leading you because of something you heard, you know, that on this Facebook class. Amen. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. I see my pastor friend, Pastor Carl, and my other pastor buddy friend, Stud. I love you guys, dear. And I don't know whoever else is on, but I love you guys, whoever is on. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. And just love y'all dearly. Talk to you later. Bye-bye, everyone.